Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll jump into 2 Timothy. And as we finish up, if I finish up, we're done. And then when we're done, we're going to start doing something a little different. So let's pray, and let's read our text, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll let the Word of God start us off in chapter 19. Of course, this is the swan song of Paul. And we've been over it several iterations, and he comes down to verse 19, and he says, "Salute Priscilla and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." Heavenly Father, we could use your grace. And Lord, we pray, God, that obviously we know the Lord Jesus Christ is with our spirit. He's the Holy Spirit, and he's in us. And so, Father, we pray, God, a blessing on the reading, the hearing, the application of your word. Paul knew all those things, too, because he wrote that, and yet he also said that to Timothy. And so we take those words upon ourselves, and we pray, God, that we would, as we enter the winter season of church history, Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be ready for it, and that we would be obedient, and we'd be prepared, Lord, to bring whatever God needs us to bring to the rapture, Lord, and bring all the things that you've called us to bring to the throne, which are the souls of men, and help us not forsake your word and your work. Lord, we praise you and thank you for this time to encourage us in your word. We pray a blessing on the reading, the hearing, and the application of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so 2 Timothy chapter 4. As we finish up, we've covered quite a bit already last week, and I'm not going to rehearse everything I said, but in the first point, we talked about do your diligence to come before winter, because your life is a vapor. So we talked about the brevity of life in James 4:14, and the time to prepare for winter is when? Oh, yeah, in the summer, right? Consider the ant. Right? Proverbs says. Talked about that this morning. And so we know for everything there is a season. Amy and I were just talking about that today on the way. We did some pre-marriage down in Nevada. By the way, Peyton West is getting married, so it's hard to, he's all grown up. So we do is I'll be doing his wedding. Huh?
Which was?
Peyton, the oldest boy. Yeah, he's 20 years old, and he's in college, but it's going to work out for him. I'm excited for him. So anyway, we're talking about my latest doctor visit, and the doctor saying, at your age, and, you know, and Amy's like, I never thought we'd get to the point where the doctor's saying, at your age, you know, and I'm like, we're here, honey. At your age, this is my advice, right? So things aren't what they used to be. You better get to work, because winter's coming. Your life is a vapor, right? And so what you eat and how you live does make a difference, and so you got to take account to that, because you want to get most mileage out of these tires. And so point B is where we left off. What do you need to get in before winter? And if you remember last week, I just took the day, as the Lord is a thousand years and a thousand years is one day, and I broke that down into practical timelines. And basically at 76 years old, you're at midnight, you know, and so time goes quick. And so on the average age of someone dying, which the average age today is 76 years old. And so.
And if you get Alzheimer's, it's worse. I mean.
Yeah, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes I think it might be a blessing not to remember. So, but yeah, I had my great grandmother, Grandma Hart. She died of Alzheimer's, and she was the sweetest woman. And she had it for a long time, probably 20 years, where she didn't, you know a lot of people. But she was, the neat thing about her was she was always sweet. So I told the Lord, if I get Alzheimer's, I hope I'm like that. I have a good disposition. So she was always kind and helpful. And she worked in the nursing home, even though she was a patient. So she would escape her bed. They had to strap her down. She would use her belly to push it out. And then after they left, she'd suck it in and get out. And then they could find her. She's out helping everybody around the nursing home and stuff. So, she lived to be over 100 years old. She's a sweet lady. And, yeah, great grandma Hart. Yeah, and so if I ever get Alzheimer's, that's what I want to be like. I want to be kind. I remember going up to see her. After I got saved, I had an appreciation for those things. And I went up to see her, and she patted me on the face and kissed me and was glad I was there. And then she, it was like 30 seconds later, who are you? You know, and she did it all over again. I thought, oh, that's kind. So anyway, so what do you need to get in before winter's the question on the table tonight. That's a good question since we're talking about coming before winter. So I would think we're all saved. You know, all of us have a profession of faith tonight. So salvation isn't the thing that we necessarily need to be concerned about in our lives, but we definitely want to be concerned about salvation in the lives of others. So don't put off what God has said needs to take place today. And so we know that today is the day of salvation. If not for us, then for who? Right? We do not know what tomorrow shall bring. So when I was a younger man, I had a chance, I've shared this story many times, but it really was formative in my life, and it really, even to this day, and a friend of mine I had a chance to witness to, named Mark Shackles, he died, and I knew I didn't witness to him when I should have, and I knew it. It was one of those open doors, and if you ever have an open door and you just know it's an open door, but then you just don't do it, you know, for this reason or that. And I thought at the time, I'll have another opportunity, and now's not the right time. But it was the right time, and I knew it was the right time, and I should have taken that time. And, of course, he died in a head-on car crash not long after that. And so it's always grieved me because I didn't take that opportunity. And so I remember that, you know, you got to get it in. You don't know what winter time is for everybody, right? So take advantage of the opportunities you have because you may not always have them. And in a way, I do feel a little bit like, in that particular case, blood may be on my hands. So have you ever followed the Lord in obedience and been baptized? I think everybody in here has been, but you might be surprised. Don't just take that for granted. I remember one time I got a dear friend named Ray Arnone. Actually, Dave Neble led him to Christ. He was a pipe fitter, and so I knew about him through Dave Neble back in the day when we worked at Fagan. Dave told me he got saved. And I thought, oh, hallelujah, whatever. And then this guy Ray Arnone worked his way from the field. And I knew of him when he was lost. I actually didn't want anything to do with him because of that. I'd been around him. And I'm like, that's okay. He's not a guy I'm going to hang with. And anyway, well, then he gets saved. So he comes in the office, and I come out of my office and walk up to Ray. And, hey, Ray, I'm Brian, da-da-da-da. And we hit it off. If you know Ray, you can't hardly not get along with him, especially once he got saved. He's a very gregarious fella. And so Ray and I get to visit him, and I know he's saved, and I know he had attended our church at Kansas City Baptist Temple, and for some reason I just thought he was baptized. So as the Holy Ghost just said, okay, a checkbox, saved. Next, so when did you get baptized? And I had no idea that, like, this was the biggest thing in his life, that he and his wife Deidre had gone to church, walked the aisle, was planning to get baptized, and then something happened. They came, both of them come from a Roman Catholic background, and he just walked away and never got baptized. And God used that moment. And he told me later, years later, he's just like, I was just so convicted after that. He's like, I could not, you know, because he just, the first thing you asked me, you meet me, you talk to me, he's like, hey, are you baptized? I'm like, that was just the Holy Ghost, you know. I wasn't actually, you know, but you know, you want to get those things in before winter. And of course, Ray ended up, he got baptized, and he's in a church in good standing up in Excelsior Springs where they live. So praise the Lord for that. And he's a good brother, and he and his wife are wonderful saints. But you know, you got to follow the Lord in obedience. Why put it off? Get it done. And what about, you know, play on the ground and sharing Christ with souls that we love and we're convicted to witness to, family members, non-family members, right? We come up with excuses, as these verses point out. Proverbs 24, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. How often do we say that? Well, it's just cold out there. Door to door doesn't work, right? Yeah, we say that because we don't want to go out in the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. At the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to wish we went out and at least gave it a roll, you know, because God has a way of filling up the bucket even if the people you knock on don't show up, right? He has a way of blessing you when you're obedient. And so don't let the cold be a cause not to. Can you imagine? Oh, I didn't get my crops in. It was too cold. What's going to happen? You're going to starve in the fall. Right? And so Proverbs 26:16, a sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Man, people who don't want to do something like exercise, that's me, we can come up with all kinds of reasons why we can't exercise, you know? Sluggard's wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. You're not going to get him to move. He's not going to pick up a weight. And so the sloth man saith, there's a lion in the way, a lion in the streets. And so I hope I'm not as bad as I made it sound, but I can come up with reasons why I can't exercise. Too much studying, too much this, too much that, but you need to get it in. The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way, a lion in the streets. Well, there is a lion. He's a serpent. He walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's the very reason we need to be in the streets, right? Because we got to get out there. But a slothful man is going to say, no, I can't go out. There's danger. Danger, Will Robinson. I can barely say that. And so, you know, we got to get out and do what we're called to do. It is dangerous. So what? We got to do it anyway. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? And this has been pointed out, it's not a sin to sleep, it's just a sin not to have an alarm clock. Right? When are you going to get up? When are you going to get up? And God doesn't, He gives His beloved rest. I mean, there's no problem with getting rest. It's just you got to have an alarm clock. When are you going to get up? Right? It's endless sleeping is not what God is looking for. So Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Right? So if we're diligent, God will provide more than you need. Right? He'll give you some excess so that you can share with others also. So have we made a decision to invest in the Word of God? That's really the key. Man, we're in a church where, and I know you guys do and are, but not everybody does. We got, even in this church, there's plenty of people that are not taking advantage of the opportunity to be saved, of the opportunity to be baptized, of the opportunity to be discipled, of the opportunity to be discipled, to the point of leadership and development and sending and calling. There's probably people right now, even this morning, I would hazard to guess, with all the events of today, my message being the least of those, who are not stirred up for the call of God. I would be shocked if there wasn't somebody in our midst, or somebody's, that God is not calling. I mean, like calling, like put your life on the altar. We need more of you. And I need you to go wherever I send you. And yet I didn't see anybody walking the aisle. Right? It's winter, man. They better come before winter. I mean, time is up. You need to make a move. Now is the time. Don't tarry any longer. Maybe it's just as simple as taking that next right step in D1, D2, HBI, woman to woman, which woman to woman is hard for us to... We don't have teachers for woman to woman. I need some women to go through woman to woman so they can be teachers of woman to woman. But anyway, another story. So are you desiring fellowship in an adult Bible fellowship? There's the practical things like that. And I know y'all in here are. You need more... Some need a more intimate fellowship, you know. They need to get into ministry so they can have intimate relationships. And so, what is the unfinished business that needs to be wrapped up before winter? You know, maybe it's a relationship, you know, a broken relationship with a parent or a child, a loved one, a coworker. There was a relationship that I messed up in the business world. Oh gosh, when I was 17 or 18. With the guy, his name's Mike Lorenz. He's a big shot up with Clark Richardson and Bishop. And all I did, he really was offensive to me personally. He treated me poorly. And to his credit, he came back and apologized. And if I was a spiritual man, I would have said, what would I have said?
I accept your apology.
I accept your apology. Thank you, Mike. That's very kind. But what did I say? Because I was still carnal, coming from the blue-collar world in which I grew up. And I wasn't mean, but I just said, you're right, you are a jerk. And so, and that's where I left it. And you know what? Years later, I regretted that. Since I've been a pastor here, I've actually thought about going up to CRB, knocking on his door. Mike Lorenz, I don't know if you remember me or not, but I still may do that. I probably should. I'm talking about it, so it must trouble me. But that always followed me around in my conscience, even to this day. So I should go make that right. But anyway, sometimes there's things you need to do. Just seal that up. I did have my mother-in-law. I didn't feel like I honored her like I should when I married Amy. So I was in my devotional, and I want her saved. So I was praying for her one day in my office at home. Praying, and man, God just said, hey, Brian, you need to address this. You can't sit here and pray for your mother-in-law. if you think you haven't dealt with her right. So at Christmas time, I grabbed her up one day and I said, "Hey, Cindy, I got to talk to you, and I got to apologize for the way I took your daughter from you." So she was like, "I don't even know what you're talking about," you know. And I'm like, "Well, I do, and I feel bad because I didn't honor you the way I should have." And so I didn't ask permission. I just kind of told her this is what we're doing, type of thing. And it really wasn't honorable. I think I was probably at the time it doesn't matter how old I was 18. I was old enough to know better. And so I should have been kinder to her in that regard, more respectful to her, because it was really a manifestation of my disrespect. And so I really felt bad about that. So I made it right. You know, and you just make it right, even if it's 20 years later. Doesn't matter. Get those things taken care of before winter is what I'm saying. All right, don't go to the grave with those regrets. There are certainly some things I will say you just need to not worry about. I'm not so much talking about things that offend you as much as people you've offended. And so as far as people's offenses to you, I am always perplexed how people seem to hang on to things. I'm like, Jesus Christ died in our place for all of our sins, and we're hanging on to what someone did to us? Come on. Come on. Come on, man. So, anyway, that's a whole nother message. So, these are some things, these are practical things that we can address before winter. So, do your diligence to come before winter, because relationships are precious, as I pointed out. That's point two. Relationships are precious. Did I give you three blanks there? Relationships are precious. I'm really getting it. I'm really getting with it there. I usually don't do that many. So you gotta be paying close attention. So our lives are a vapor, right? We need to be ready for winter, because our lives are a vapor and relationships are precious. And we saw that in the concluding comments there. He's talking about Prissa, Aquila, the household of Onesiphorus, Erastus, you know, so on and so forth, Trophimus. He cares about these people. They're faithful friends. And he says, salute Priscilla and Aquila. Timothy, I won't be able to see Priscilla and Aquila anymore. They mean a lot to me. Let them know I'm thinking about them. And if you've ever been with somebody at the end like that, those conversations are precious. I was able to spend a lot of time with Earl, not a lot, but some time with Earl Cross before he passed. And some of those conversations we talked about, you know, what it is a recounting of all your relationships. And those are important conversations, you know, and messages and things that need to be said. So please let the family of Onesiphorus know how thankful I am for his ministry. He wasn't ashamed to visit me in prison, and he gave his life for the Lord, according to 2 Timothy 1:6. All right, so please send them my love. What a good brother, right? It says over there, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is, 2 Timothy, yeah, which is in thee. I don't know how I came up with that. 2 Timothy 1:6. And so then the soldier, Trophimus, he couldn't continue, Tim. I had to keep moving, and I left him sick at Miletus, right? So he's a soldier, but I left him there. So make sure to circle back on that. Point B, the saints march on as the saints go home. Timothy, I know I said only Luke is with me, but there are many faithful still here in Rome. They're looking forward to seeing you too, right? Eubulus personally wanted me to greet you. Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. Notice there was no mention of Peter. Peter wasn't there in Rome, by the way, as Paul. And not Mary. So it makes believe that Peter was it's make believe that Peter, by the way, is the first pope. I know in this group we know that. If Peter would have been there, Paul would have mentioned him, by the way. If Peter was in Rome, you think Paul would have said something? I think so. Yeah, I think he would have. And he didn't. And so, see, ministry rides on the rails of relationships and follows on the heels of fellowship. I posted this the other day. That's a Randy and Allenism all combined into one. And it's true. The relationships we have in the body of Christ are eternal, have eternal implications. So today after church, the couple that spoke went out to lunch with some of the folks at Heartland. You know, those relationships, there's as much going on at the restaurant as there was all the rest of the day. All right, all of those things matter. The little touches, the handshakes, the matter. credit cards, all the stuff that go out, those are all important, and you will really not realize the implications. And we don't. I'm talking as your pastor. I don't always recognize those little touches. I can look back now. I can remember moments when I was a young man in my 20s, seeing Jeff Bartel, who's in his 20s, going to Albania, across the room, looking at him, wondering what's going to happen to that guy, not knowing him from Adam. I would have never guessed I'd be pastoring a church. Jeff would be here preaching. He's doing our marriage conference this spring, by the way. And, you know, just how God just brings all of those things, you know, together is beyond me, you know. And it's just amazing how God does that stuff. Same thing with Mark Trotter. I can remember sitting in the sanctuary, thousands of people. Mark Trotter's up there preaching, you know, and I'm just up there, just Mr. Junior Birdman, you know, just whatever. And, I'm like, you know, I would never guess I'd end up someday having like a pretty close relationship with Mark Trotter. Of course, he makes everybody feel like his best friend. But the point being is that we were doing ministry together until God took him home. So it's just weird how God, these relationships, those little touches, they're important. Amy, I was just telling Amy that today. Some kind, very kind things were said to me today at the in Nevada from Peyton West. That, you know, is special. I was like, wow, that's nice that he sees us in this light, wants us to do his wedding and all of that. And hadn't been here in 4 years. Why? Because God's knit our hearts to his. You know, and that's a blessing. Don't take those things, you know, out of my day to day. That's pretty big stuff, you know. Don't take that lightly. These relationships are precious, you know. They're precious, and so even if we don't always appreciate how precious they are, I think at the judgment seat of Christ, and I don't mean because we're in judgment. I think because of the magnitude of God's grace, I think we will really be like weeping for joy when we really recognize how precious these relationships are. You know, because I think we're all going to get blessings we didn't deserve, you know. And it's going to be really sweet how God has done these things. So it's amazing. So in Hebrews 10:24, I put that passage there. You know, these relationships we have these eternal implications, and this is why it's important to invest in the ministry of the local New Testament church. He says in verse 24 of chapter 10 of Hebrews, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. You know, you always got those people that want to provoke people. So, hey, let's provoke them to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So as you see the day approaching, I think we see it approaching. It's not going to be long. The day of the Lord really commences as we get caught up, you know. And then, of course, the second coming at the end of the 70th week, and that is the day of the Lord. And then the whole 1,000-year period is the day of the Lord. So just take your pick. But it's all coming quick. Right, and so we need to be provoking each other to love and good works. So we need to come, God needs us. We need to come before winter because life is a vapor. Relationships are precious, and lastly, because the work must go on. The work must go on. So I have a lot of blanks there. I'm making you busy tonight. The work must go on. That's really what he's saying in his final words, right? Timothy, this has got to keep going. And the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you, because it's on you, pal. Amen, so be it. And so do your diligence to come before winter, because the work must go on. So what brings us together is what keeps us together. The Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel is the glue that binds us, and the hope that guides us as we labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ will be with thy spirit, Paul says in Timothy. May you sense the presence and power of the Lord Jesus Christ as you partake of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. 2 Timothy 1:8. Right? And so may you not remember but experience the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind as you make full proof of thy ministry and preach the word in season and out of season. May you receive the comfort of the Holy Ghost when you stand alone, knowing that you're never alone because the Lord stands with you. Timothy, I may be leaving, but there is the Comforter, and he is more than enough in my stead. There are parchments and there are scriptures, and they will keep you until you make it home. So grace be with you. That's point C, if you got a point C. I don't know if I gave you a point C. But grace be with you. Paul opens this letter with grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, and he ends it with grace. So, beloved, we live in an age of grace, and you can't miss that, because right now there's a full court press to get you to turn on Israel and take on the promises of Israel and then eliminate Israel. That's totally wicked, and it's just increasing rapidly. It's under several guise, whether it's Reformed theology. Of course, Catholic theology never left that position. Or it's Islamic philosophies. You just name the false religion, and they're going to take Israel's promises. And by the way, as they're taking Israel's promises, they're going to tell you that there is no age of grace, so you need to take up your sword and go to war. And so there's a lot of things that are being ascribed to Bible believers right now. And so I know the time is near. So, beloved, we live in this age of grace, and we can only discern it because we know how to rightly divide the word. But a lot of people don't understand that. They really increasingly, because it's being intentionally deceitful, the teaching out there right now. So we start in grace and we finish in grace and we depart and we leave a legacy of grace to those who faithfully follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to those who don't. There's a reason why those those first century saints and throughout church history laid their lives down, because they were making a point. The further we're getting along in church history in Laodicea, the clearer it's becoming to me. You almost have to lay your life down to prove the point that this kingdom is not on this earth. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And Jesus will do the fighting down here. So you better be careful who you slay, because we are coming back. Right? And that's the bottom line. And death, we cannot be afraid of death, because it has no hold on us. And so, That's been the record of the true Christians throughout the last 2,000 years. And beloved, don't be surprised if we get pressed into that same stress in our own life and have to live up to that as well. So even before the rapture, I'm talking about. So I'm not talking about the tribulation. And so, as the old hymn goes, 'twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. Amen, he says, and he concludes with that. Amen. So Paul's ready to go home. Amen. So be it. His race is run, his crown is won, and now he awaits his departure flight. All right, and he's ready to go home. So Paul didn't finish alone. He knows Timothy will not finish alone, and we know that if Timothy made it before winter, we won't know if Timothy made it before winter until we get to heaven. We really don't know if he got there or not. And the question this morning is not Timothy, but us. Will we be who God saved us to be and do that which God saved us to do before it's too late? Or are we going to allow Him to finish the work in us that He wants to finish? And so what business do we have left to start? What business do we have left to finish? Right? That is the call. At the end of the book, we really leave it kind of open-ended. And the rest of the epistle is written by you. So you decide what you're going to do. Because ultimately, you're the only one that can run your race and finish your course. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, let's pray, and then we'll pray and be dismissed.